Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong. We strong. We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
I definitely think you make an outstanding point, and I think that's what you're referring to, and I think it's a great point by you.
Got that right. I told you Corey Chavis yesterday on the show. I mean, he understood.
I definitely think you make an outstanding point, and I think that's what you're referring to, and I think it's a great point by you.
It was a great point by me. He went on to say after that it was like the greatest question ever asked. I didn't get that clip in there. But he said, you know, in all my years as a player and now an analyst covering the draft, that was like the greatest question that I have ever been asked. That's what he said, something like that. Maybe not. I don't know. Did you get that part or no? You didn't hear that part, T-Mac? I don't know if that T-Mac heard that part.
I don't think I quite caught that one.
You didn't get that?
It was okay. Just this big, long, like 15-minute rant of how excellent you are. I couldn't capture all of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we got as much of it as we could get. Hump day in the doghouse, draft eve in the doghouse, and I really do wish we could have gotten a draft remote together for tomorrow's show, but just not enough time to make that happen. However, I do have a sweet pair of tickets to the Geico 500 at Talladega for you to give away. Anybody who correctly picked the first three picks of the draft tomorrow night, I'm taking four picks all together so that you can have a tiebreaker just in case we got multiple guys that get the first three right. You'd be sitting there and you'd be like, dog, what are you talking about, man? Three? How hard is it to get the first three guys right? I mean, everybody knows that it's going to be Myles Garrett, and then it's going to be Mitch Trubisky, and then it's going to be, you know, Jonathan Allen or Solomon Thomas, and then Marshawn Lattimore. Or, no, wait a minute, maybe it'll be Solomon Thomas and then Jamal Adams. Oh, wait, it's going to be Derek Barnett and then Solomon Thomas. Yeah, see how hard it gets? But I need four out of you all together so that you can give me your full look at this deal, and just in case we have ties in it. And whoever gets it right on Friday will award tickets to the Geico 500 on that deal. So we're taking your texts at 7329-TA-SHOW at 732-982-7469. Phone lines are open, 866-485-9867. The bloodletting continues at ESPN today. Many salaried on-air people are let go. Hard hit are the .com guys, including the AFC South writer Paul Kaharsky, college football writer Brett McMurphy. On air, we lose baseball contributor Jason Stark, 17 years. NFL analyst Trent Dilfer, 8 years. SEC antagonist Danny Cannell, 8 years. Also coming across Jay Crawford, who does SportsCenter. He is out. Dr. Jerry Punch is out of a job. You know, that's kind of a little bit surprising. Jerry Punch, after, I think, 19 years there. Len Elmore, the basketball analyst, is out. Ashley Fox, the NFL analyst, was there for 6 years. Out. She used to do some fantasy football type stuff. Some producers have been let go. Some other radio people. Robin Lundberg, I don't listen to ESPN Radio, so I don't know what he did there. He's gone. Chantel Jennings, their Pac-12 reporter, gone. Anchor Chris Hassel. SportsCenter AM anchor Jamie Sire is out as well. Dottie Pepper, who did golf at ESPN for many years, is going, you know, and every one of these people, except for Danny Cadell, have been very, very positive and thankful for their time that they had at ESPN. Very much. Dottie Pepper tweeted, my time with ESPN comes to a close today as I join the sidelines with so many other talented individuals. Tom Ferry from Outside the Lines. Boxing host Marisol Castro. I don't know who she is. Reese Waters. Got their Jerry Punch. Roger Cossack. Also done. The guy that is the, you know, is the guy that handles legal stuff. Dave Turley, who is their gambling guy, is Twitter at View from Vegas. He's out of there, too. Man, a lot of people getting cut loose there. I'll just say this about that. Whether you like or dislike some of this talent, there's still people. These are their jobs. This is a crushing day. If anybody has ever lost a job, this is a brutal business. You know, it's tough when it comes and you're not the one that gets to call the shot, but it happens. It happened to me once. It kind of happened to me. I got reassigned and didn't take my reassignment. I ended up staying in Nashville and switching stations. That's the truth. The last time I was with Cumulus, the radio station I was on was flipped to a music format. And at that point in time, they reassigned me back to Huntsville. But my family was already established in Nashville. And I had an opportunity to jump to a different station in Nashville, which I did and stayed there for 6 years. So, and then, you know, I got made an offer I couldn't refuse to come back to Cumulus. And I'm glad I did, to be honest with you. I'm really happy that I did. And it's been a great, great run now, but it's fleeting in this business. So it appears that Stephen A. Smith and his $3.5 million a year are safe. He could pay for about 20 of these people with that $3.5 million, but apparently they like that guy. Smokey Mike, speaking of the Tom Abraham Show, former producers of all of them, he's one of them, and he's up. Smokey Mike, what's going on, man?
Man, Big Dog, I'm sore as hell, but I'm ready to win some Dagger tickets, so let's have at it. Well, first of all, that's a lot of quality being let go by ESPN. I mean, that's just a shame right there. I remember back when I was a wee lad, Dr. Jerry Punch covering NASCAR and then Roger Cossack doing the OJ trial for ESPN. It's a sad, sad day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jason Stark, I mean, on baseball, I mean, that guy.
Yeah,
that, you know,
I mean, I'm flabbergasted, but it showed that ESPN was looking for people that could do more than just one thing or other things and all that, and then some of the other talent, like Danny Cannell, that tried to do everything but wasn't great at it.
I wasn't
a master of none.
Yeah, I don't know how he was on the radio because I didn't listen to it, but I wasn't a Danny Cannell fan. I feel for him losing his gig. You know, Trent Dilfer's a little bit surprising. I thought they liked him a lot more than the people did. I thought they liked him, but they went ahead and pulled that trigger too.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's business, and people are cost-cutting every day trying to save money for themselves, and then you got ESPN, which is $8 for that one channel.
Right.
I mean, that's your biggest hit on your cable bill. So I understand exactly why people would take out.
Well, it's not about, you know, with all due respect to Arky, it's not really about the games, and it's not about being a liberal or conservative station. I don't think that had anything to do with it. It has nothing. In fact, I'm pretty certain that has nothing to do with it. I don't think that that's the deal. I think that the bigger issue is people who are cord cutting. And the fact that you can buy so much stuff a la carte. And, you know, I can watch the SEC on CBS by just clicking one button on a CBS Sports app. You know, I don't need to do anything. And you can now buy a la carte. You can buy ESPN and watch ESPN app and all of those things. So, you know, I think there's money that's being moved around. Plus, I think regardless of the cord cutting and, you know, the reduction in revenue, because they're not losing profit. They're having less profit, but they're not losing money. People say, oh, ESPN's hemorrhaging money. No, they're not losing money. They're not making as much money as they were making before, which gives them the opportunity to kind of go through and trim and cut. And, well, we could do without this. We could do without that and see what happens. It's the old deal that my daddy told me. Stick your finger in a glass of water, pull it out, and see what kind of a hole you left. And that'll tell you, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. The ESPN will come on the TV tomorrow. I guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But let's get me them Dega tickets already. So let's get on.
All right. Give me your first four guys that go down in the draft, starting with the Browns at one.
All right. Your Cleveland Browns will select Myles Garrett.
Garrett. All right. Number two with the 49ers.
Let's go. The Niners, I would go with Solomon Thomas.
Thomas. All right. And the Bears at three. Your Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. We'll take Jamal Adams out of LSU.
Solid.
By the way,
and
I had a big time debating Adams and Allen on that one.
Yeah, and on that, I see Adams, my CBS guys, Adams, Lattimore, Thomas, Allen. There's not a lot of consensus on this pick. Lattimore and Adams.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's all defense. Every single one of them is defense. They just don't know who it's going to be. All right, and give me the Jags pick, which would be the tiebreaker if we need it.
Oh, a lot of people think that it's going to be Fournette going at four, but I think the Jags still need some more secondary help, so I'm going to go Marshawn Lattimore.
Lattimore, good pick. All right, man, we got you in.
I appreciate it, big dog.
All right, man, take it easy. Smokey Mike, working his tail out there doing his gig. I will say this, too. If you want to be secure as possible in your work, I'm just going to tell you this. If you want to be as secure as you can possibly be in your job, sell something. Just sell something. Because I truly believe in the concept of sponges and rainmakers. There are two kinds of people in every business, especially in this business, but in every kind of business, there are two kinds of people. Sponges and rainmakers. So you either soak water or you create water. You either soak up rain or you create rain. And that's why, you know, to be honest with you, you know, in this business more than any other business, the position that you have in the company is not dictated by salary. In most companies, wherever you are in the pecking order, though, that's the person that makes the most money. But in this business, being that we are at the end of the day a sales organization, it's not the case. It's not the case. There are people who are in positions of authority who do a wonderful job in those positions of authority that don't make nearly as much as the people that they are boss of. Now, in a way, it's kind of like with football. You know, there's a lot of players. It's like with basketball, certainly. There are a lot of players that make more than the coach. The coach is still the coach, but the players make a few dollars more. And in many cases, the players are rainmakers. There's two ways to be a rainmaker. One, be so damn good that people need to buy your show. Or two, make sure that you're out there talking to people to buy your show. Because it's you don't pay for me. I mean, I love our listeners. And we have got, you know, a big chunk of listeners. And I love our listeners. But you don't pay for the Tom Abraham Show. The sponsors do. This isn't satellite. This isn't, you know, you have to have a, you know, you got to pay a dollar a day for the show. Who would pay a dollar a day for this crap? If I told you you had to pay a dollar a day, would you pay for this? Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. Who pays for the show is the sponsors. The sponsors pay money for their message to be heard by the consumer of the show, which is you listeners. So the more listeners we can get, the happier the sponsors are, and the sponsors are more apt to, you know, like Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Bobby White and Woody Anderson Ford has supported this radio show for 12 years. But I'm not a charity. I'm not one of his kids. You guys buy cars at Woody Anderson Ford. And he likes their, you know, he believes in supporting the product in Alabama football and so on, as do many others. And they know that we're going to drive people to their businesses. That's why people advertise. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic than in other businesses, that's for sure. Good talent, good shows and so on. There are places where there are awful shows hosted by people who can bring in a few bucks, especially if it's a kind of a rinky-dink, you know, one-shop operation. There are places like that where you've got, you know, a station that's not, you know, where they don't put a value necessarily on talent. They put more of a you know, on a combination of talent and revenue, that they only put the emphasis on revenue because they need whatever they can get. And if somebody can bring them a couple of dollars, boom, they're on the radio. Suck like you couldn't imagine, but boom, they're on the radio. That happens. Places. There you go, T-Mac. Sponge, rainmaker. Two kinds of people in business. You want to be a rainmaker. Rainmakers are far and few between. Sponges are everywhere. There's a lot of people that soak up money. Be somebody that somehow is responsible for bringing in money, whether it's direct sales or producing such a great product that people say, oh, man, what's it cost to advertise on the Tom Abraham show? That show's good. That T-Mac guy, I want to get him to do a live read for me.
I think a lot of that, well, obviously becoming a rainmaker and having something that you can put out there that's worth buying and worth you trying to sell, it starts from, you know, just a lot of hard work. I mean, you obviously didn't get to where you were and get all these great guests and everything else you have by just saying, hey, I'm doing a radio show. You want to come on? And you busted your tail and went out there and showed them why they want to come on there and why people want it. And that's all obviously at being just starting out as a producer of your show. I've only been here a couple months. That's what I'm doing. The thing I bring to the table right now is just my hard work ethic. And I try not to complain about anything. Obviously, there's anybody can complain about anything. But there's one thing I've always prided myself on, and I don't have enough time to tell the story. You know the story from going to college and everything else. I work my ass off.
You put yourself through school.
Yeah. So,
putting yourself through school is a very, very admirable thing. You got a bunch of loans that are left and so on, but that's key. And that's why I've always kept my hands in selling something.
Right.
You know, because you feel like you made it when somebody starts paying you strictly for, like when I went to Nashville, you know, they just paid me. And then I said, and they paid me well. And I said, well, can I sell something? And they're like, no, we got a sales team. You can't sell. You're on air. You can't sell. Anyway. I'm like, yeah, but I want to sell something. And then even when I come back, you know, and working directly for Cumulus in Alabama, the show had been on in Huntsville throughout all of this time. And, you know, I get paid for the show. But I'm always like, hey, let me sell something. Let me just go out there and sell something. Because you always want to keep your hand in, you know, bringing in a little bit. And maybe that's just, you know, my own thing. And no matter what I've done, even if I do a network show, you know, Bassmaster Radio is a perfect example. You know, that show does very, very well. And, you know, I like being able to sell it. I think that's important. All right. Coming up, we got a little rapid rewindage for you. We've had a pretty strong deal today with Anthony Herron joining us from Philly, where he's covering the draft. Vince Ferraro was in. Bo Estes talked NBA. Kevin Rogers from Vegas Insider and that nut crazy Charlie all were in today. So when we come back, we'll give you the highlights right after this on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730-1039. The ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
Hey, I've been on board with this Michigan Jim Harbaugh trip to Italy and Rome since it was first announced. I think this gives these young men a life experience that most of them would never even consider and maybe never even know about what was going to be able to take place and who they're going to meet. You see Harbaugh today meeting the Pope, presenting him with a Michigan helmet and a pair of Jordan 5s, which the Pope will probably never wear, but I would love to have. And it's all cool. I think it's great. But they were going over for spring football. And I see them paint gunning and kayaking and throwing footballs in the mall. But I haven't seen Michigan practice football yet. So you pull one over on us, Harbaugh, and I'm all for it. And this is a cool experience. But it still at some point has to be about football, right? This trip is for spring football. So get out there and practice, Jim.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arkie Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. But a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by CC's. Now at CC's, 3 new deep dish pizzas on the Unlimited Buffet. Dig into the new original deep dish and the baked-in flavors of new jalapeno cheddar and garlic parmesan. More flavor, deep in every bite. Just 5 and change at CC's.
Increasingly cloudy tonight. Thunderstorms arrive after midnight. Those storms could be strong to severe. The low at 62. Tomorrow's storms ending early in the day, becoming partly sunny. The high 75. Very warm on Friday. Partly sunny. A small chance of an afternoon storm. The high 88. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household. The big dog, Tom Abraham.
Hopefully there's more highlights than lowlights in the show, right? Anthony Herron, Vince Ferreira, Bo Estes, Kevin Rogers, Crazy Charlie. They were all in today. We put that one in a meat grinder for you, and we spit it back out. We call this the Rapid Rewind. What do you make of this? Adam Schefter is reporting that he's got some pretty good intel that the Browns are strongly considering taking Mitchell Trubisky with the number one overall pick. I mean, what do you make of that?
I don't buy it for one second. I shouldn't say for one second. Maybe I buy it for a second, but not for true. I don't see where a team, no matter how desperate they are at the quarterback position, would not only pass up the generational talent that is Myles Garrett, but take a quarterback at number one overall who they could potentially get at number 9, number 10, if they were to trade back into the top 10 in some capacity. It just strategically wouldn't make a lot of sense. What would strategically make a lot of sense to me, and what folks who I've talked to who, you know, are within NFL organizations, you know, people in scouting departments, coaches who face both Myles Garrett and Mitchell Trubisky, all these different things, everyone to me is saying that they feel like this is just strategically the Browns trying to do what they can to get folks to chase Mitchell Trubisky up towards the top of the draft and see if they can maybe get more trade partners. Maybe they want to trade down from number one. Maybe they're working on deals to get back into the top 10. But for them to take Mitchell Trubisky number one overall, I just don't see that happening.
They would have to have some kind of crazy intel that there's a problem with Myles Garrett, that somehow Warren Sapp you know, was on to something, and I don't believe that Warren Sapp is on to anything. The other part of it is Trubisky heading his shoulders. If they get to 12, and this is, I still think Cleveland could move up as high as 5 to trade with the Titans. I think the Titans are in the mood to trade. But if Trubisky, or if the Browns stayed at 12, they're not all going to be gone. Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, to me, is one so much better than the other that you would, you know, give up extra bodies and move way up because you know that one of them is going to be there. I don't know that Trubisky that I feel. And if Mitchell Trubisky is that guy in this draft, what's going to happen next year when there's Josh Rosen and maybe Sam Darnold and those kind of guys? You know what I mean? It's, you know, I don't know. I guess that's what I'm confused because I, you know, the guy I really like is Patrick Mahomes. I think that guy's a baller. And he's climbing on a lot of boards.
Yeah, and you're not alone. I was just talking to an SEC coach yesterday who faced Patrick Mahomes multiple times, you know, facing against Texas Tech. Talked to last week at an NFL personnel department member who both were just completely fascinated with the upside of Patrick Mahomes and really didn't mind the fact that he'd been playing in this air raid offense. And what I would say to that is he is – one of, if not the most physically gifted air raid quarterbacks that's entered the NFL draft. Because as a system, the air raid doesn't require you to have a big arm. But Patrick Mahomes has one of the bigger arms we've seen in recent memory. Not only is it just a strong arm, he can throw off platform. He can throw on the move. And he's got this flair for being able to make plays in this dramatic manner that have absolutely zero to do with the play as it was designed. So all those things are very fun, very cool, very clever. What concerns me about it is that when you actually look at him try to operate within the scheme of the play, that's where he's more pedestrian. So he's not, at this point in his development, a guy who operates very well within the X's and O's and then makes the splash play that's beyond the X's and O's. That's, to me, where Marcus Mariota was at a couple of years ago in his development when he left the University of Oregon. Very good from within the pocket, extremely accurate, can do the play as it's designed. And then when it's called upon for him to do something that's not designed within the play, he's got the physical skills to do that. The main play that I see being made by Patrick Mahomes right now are beyond the X's and O's, are beyond the design of the play. That's not how you're going to be able to succeed in the National Football League, regardless of how special your skills are at quarterback. So that, to me, is a big red flag, even though he's got such amazing ability, just the pure passer, you know, like the guy in the NBA with the pure jumper that you think is going to go in every time. When Pat Mahomes releases the football, you think it's going exactly where he wants it to go, no matter what angle he's releasing the football from. He's just not a guy who I think operates within the framework of a given offense at a level that would lead to success in the NFL.
No question, Vince Ferraro with us from Knoxville. All right, talk about the spring game, what you saw in the half of football. I thought I had read somewhere that Butch Jones said that Tennessee was the champions of lightning-shortened spring games, but I guess I didn't. Nobody really jumped on board with me with that one. You're the first guy to laugh. I said that 4 times in 2 days, and you're the first guy to chuckle. I'm glad you gave me a chuckle off of that. But, you know, the quarterbacks, I think the ball hit the ground once, right, between Dormady and Garantano. They both just seem to look good, but Dormady, it looks like that's his job, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought he was a little bit ahead going in, and I saw nothing to change my mind on that. Dormady looked in control on time with his throws. Neither quarterbacks really had any design deep routes, so it wasn't a high level of difficulty. Plus, you mentioned it was a half of football. On top of that, there's 22 players that were out from that spring game, 13 of which, just in going through them, I think are competing for starting spots. So there's a lot of significant players on both sides of the ball that weren't there. So you really are limited in what you can take out of it. But they evenly distributed the reps for Dormady and Garantano with the ones and the twos. Dormady was the first one to come out with the ones. Garantano looked good, but he was just a little bit off in his timing on a couple of throws. So a couple of times he held on the football a little bit too long, and it was just a touch sack because they weren't tackling, they weren't live. And then another, his only incompletion, he was a little bit late with his throw and nearly got intercepted, and that was his one incompletion. But other than that, he carried himself well. I think Dormady, with his experience and his tools, he is a better athlete than what people think, and he just looks in control, and he's a little bit more advanced in some of those subtleties, being able to check protections and move guys around when you see them based on the pre-snap look you get. He's a little bit ahead of Guarantano. I think Guarantano will be good in those areas, but right now I think Dormady is more advanced. And one other little thing in the post game, Tom, Butch Jones, he doesn't give you a whole lot, but I think subtly slid this in there. He was asked who won the quarterback skills competition, where they set up these dummies and these targets mm-hmm. all around the field, including buckets where you try to throw it in the back corner. And Dormady actually is the first quarterback to get a throw in there when they've done it the last few years. He was asked in the post game, hey, who won the quarterback skills challenge? And he said, Dormady, he said, he's got game experience, which is invaluable in those kind of things. So if it's invaluable in a quarterback skills competition, isn't it also invaluable in deciding who your quarterback is in games? I would think that would matter a lot too. Yeah, I've always thought Butch Jones would lean towards the experience anyway, and I think that's also the case. And Dormady has shown that as well, that he is more experienced and looks the part.
Well, that's just with us, NBA TV, NBA.com. We had an update at the top of the hour with Jim Rome. And the basic title of it was Clippers Gonna Clip, and here they go. You know, they get beat at home last night by the Jazz. Obviously, Blake Griffin is out now. It looks like it's just a matter of time. Jazz will go ahead and finish this off back at home. Where is this Clippers franchise going now? At a point in time when the Lakers should be making a big pick and got to start getting better. I mean, are we seeing, is this the beginning of the end of the clip window, if you will?
Well, just so we're clear on the context of this, Blake Griffin, without Blake Griffin, the Clippers are a sub-500 team right now, as a military helicopter goes right over my head. Sorry about that. So they're a sub-500 team without Blake Griffin. That's the reality for the Clippers. He has been injury-prone, as has Chris Paul. You remember their playoff exit last year against the Portland Trail Blazers. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin go out. So you're almost making a decision in L.A., based on the frequency of injuries, which seem unpredictable, but they seem to be more predictable for L.A. I do think they are sort of towards the back end of their window. Remember, though, DeAndre Jordan made his first All-Star appearance this year for the Clippers. So he is, you know, perhaps at the peak of his powers. Chris Paul is on the wrong side of 30. Blake Griffin is starting to get up there. He's not dunking all over people like you used to see. But to his credit, he has developed other skills in his game. What young players can they bring into this team that can help them out? Last year's pick was Bryce Johnson, the kid from North Carolina. He didn't do anything. He was hurt all year long. But I don't know that there's new blood there that can help them with the aging veterans they have. So it's getting towards the point where you may start over if you're the LA Clippers. And I, you know, for my money, if they can move some stuff, if they can do some things that can get some value for the pieces they have, I would really look at doing that.
Eric Hazeltine is a friend of mine, the voice of the Grizzlies. I asked him what he thought about the way the Grizz were playing on the road.
Should be a friggin' investigation.
Okay. Well, maybe that wasn't what he said there, but I mean, maybe that was after game two.
Should be a friggin' investigation.
Yeah, exactly. Just to quote him there, there should be a friggin' investigation. This is an amazing series in as much as that, you know, they say, the series doesn't start until somebody wins on the road. This one might end with nobody winning on the road. There is a fatal flaw
with that saying, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a fatal flaw. Yeah, right. I mean, it's just going to go that way. It looks like it's going to go that way. But it's amazing how different they are. It's not like hockey where you get the last shift change. I mean, the last ups in baseball. I mean, what a difference between, you know, for the Grizz especially, the way they are at home and the way they are on the road.
Yeah, and that's interesting to me. There's a couple of things. Greg Popovich, in first rounds, he's unbeaten in game fives when the series is split. So he always wins that game that is so decisive, that game five. On top of that, what is it that they have? The Grizzlies haven't won on the road since March. That road streak is pathetic. And on top of that, I think they particularly struggle against San Antonio on the road, which makes things even worse. San Antonio, historically and this year, one of the best teams at home in the league. So that's what sits in front of you. That's the challenge that sits in front of you. Mike Conley, for me, has been amazing in this series and has elevated his already great reputation in the league. Mark Gasol has been, well, really good but not great yet. I think they need more help. I think they need a little dose of something. They're playing Vince Carter over 30 minutes a game coming into last night's game. That's just sort of where they are on the wing, if you ask me. So I think Memphis needs a little push, a little momentum, a really good win in game six, sending it back to San Antonio could be the push they need. That's sort of the situation the Hawks are in. Yeah. They got two good wins at home, and they're thinking they have momentum going to D.C. tonight.
All right, let's shift gears, talk a little bit of baseball here. We're now 3 weeks in. We're starting to get some pretty solid trends. You know, what is it that you're seeing right now? Some of these teams that came out of the block a little bit slow, some of the teams that were kind of surprises coming out of the block fast. Are we starting to get our hands around, you know, what's going on with baseball right now?
Well, we're seeing, you know, for one, the Cincinnati Reds, they're not as good as we thought they were. That, you know, we talk about when you start judging these teams, when do you get, you know, take them seriously, where the Reds had a couple nice wins early on, and now Milwaukee's going to sweep them if that game hasn't gone final yet. I think it went final a bit ago, but Milwaukee swept them. So, you know, we have Cincinnati is still kind of a team on the rebuild. You know, you look at the Giants are a complete mess right now, where Madison Bumgarner is out for a while after that dirt bike accident, and the Giants have several injuries. They just can't really get it going, string together a lot of consecutive wins. So I wonder when the Giants are going to come back to life. And then you look in the, you know, in the American League, where the Royals are a complete disaster right now. I think that their window's shut after they went to the World Series two straight years. They won the title against the Mets last year. You know, a bit of a down year, but this year they have no offense. This road trip that they're coming off of getting swept by Texas and the White Sox, it's just embarrassing, and they're not scoring any runs. And I think that that's not going to change. I feel like that's not going to change anytime soon with them. They just can't get anything going from an offensive standpoint. Then you look at, like, the Astros, who are playing the Indians in a pretty important series the next few days. Dallas Keuchel has been great so far after he had the Cy Young year 2 years ago. Last year kind of dropped off, but this year I watched some of that game last night, and he was electric, and he gets the complete game win. For the Astros, they're a team that you have to keep an eye on in the American League behind Cleveland, who I don't know if they're going to be back in the World Series again this year, where Boston, Pedroia's banged up a bit. They're still waiting for David Price to come back, so Boston's still a question mark, but the Astros, they have a very strong lineup, and I think it's a good balance of young guys and veterans, good pitching staff, and I think that they're a team that, you know, could end up representing the American League when it's all said and done.
Yeah, best record in the American League, and playing really well. Baltimore, is that fool's gold there? They're out to a 13-6 start. You know, Yankees behind them, Boston behind the Yankees, and Boston and the Yanks get started with their series after the rainout last night. Presumably they're playing tonight. I haven't seen it. It's been rained out again, or that there's weather there. But what about that Baltimore Orioles team out to a very fast start at 13-6?
I've never loved their starting pitching. I don't think their starting pitching is anything to write home about. Their bullpen's pretty good, but Zach Britton's hurt now. So we'll see whenever he comes back and they, you know, can get that fixed up. But the lineup is obviously very good with, you know, Adam Jones, Chris Davis, and Machado. That it's a very, very skilled team. It's well managed by Buck Showalter. It's just, I don't know how much I trust that starting pitching to really take you far in the playoffs. That's kind of my only concern with them. And you look at that American League East, where Toronto has been horrible so far. They had a nice win at St. Louis last night, an extra innings game. I felt like they were just trying to give away. Mm-hmm. But, Tampa Bay, even though they beat Baltimore last night, we know they're kind of, you know, an average team. And then, like you said, the Yankees and the Red Sox, wherever they get going in this important series, Chris Sale goes tomorrow for the Red Sox, and he just continues to be dynamic. But, for the Yankees, their offense is very good, and they're getting
their bullpen is
a lot
very
of young
good
guys. They have a great back end of the bullpen. It's just about really that starting pitching, if it could stay consistent, keep getting good starts at a CC, if you can get Pineda to keep doing what he's doing, because he's just the guy that's been so up and down in his career, that the Yankees really, you know, they're a team that will be a big threat if they can keep this up in the American League East.
How did they handle Vladimir Tarasenko? I mean, this cat's got like 22 points in 24 games against the Preds. He just wears them out, 10 goals and 12 assists. I mean, what did he do to try and keep this guy under control?
I think what you just said is exactly the way you do it. Try and keep him under control. Tom, you and I were standing there at Bridgestone Arena the first night Vladimir Tarasenko took the ice for the St. Louis Blues as a rookie. Mm-hmm. He had 2 goals in that game, and we both looked at each other and went, uh-oh, and also wow at the same time. And that's exactly what that guy presents for the Predators. He is a challenge in every way, shape, and form. A heavy shot, a good skater, and a pure natural NHL scorer. I believe he's going to get his in this series, but you got to limit the damage. If only one of the St. Louis Blues is a sniper, let him get his and then limit everybody else to nothing, and then you're sitting just like you were with Patrick Kane in the first round, who is also one of the most dynamic offensive threats in the NHL. That's how I deal with Tarasenko. Just try to limit the damage.
Well, the thing, too, with the Preds has been they've gotten so much balanced scoring. I mean, you know, they didn't have one guy lead them. I think they had 5 or 6 guys that had multiple goals in just a little 4-game series in the sweep against the Blackhawks. And I think that has to continue, and it sure would be nice to see Colin Wilson in there. What are you hearing about that? Is he good to go or what?
Colin Wilson skated the other day, saw him, he was looking good, taking contact in practice, Tom. And you know what that usually indicates and what that means. Mm-hmm. Also smiling, and often you know that that means he's ready to get back in there. I suspect he's going to be back in the lineup tonight. As far as the other injuries go, we're not sure about Craig Smith at this time. Possibly a little bit of gamesmanship, but he has not skated as far as I know. So we'll see. But I do believe Wilson's back in the lineup. And you mentioned balanced scoring, Tom. There's only 4 Predators on the roster that do not have a point in the playoffs to this point, and that is only 4 games in. Even Harry Zolnarchuk has a goal in the first round of the series. Kevin Fiala has 2, Roman Josi with 2, Sissons with 2. You mentioned it, depth scoring critical. When you can roll all 4 lines with confidence, that is the key to winning the Stanley Cup. That is what the rosters of the teams the last few years that have made it all the way through, they've had a dominant 4 lines that they can rely on, put out there and roll at any point in time. Now, how does Coach Laviolette make adjustments for the different matchup? Not sure. Possibly an injection of a little bit more toughness, but I think he's going to go with the same lineup that got him to the second round.
Who doesn't have a goal is PK Subban, and I got to be honest with you, I'm still not impressed. I mean, there's some things that he does that are nice. Certainly, there's no question about it. It's a big money guy. I'd like to trade long term. Shea Weber had an excellent regular season, but Shea Weber's home and PK Subban is still playing. I get that. Maybe they could bring Shea in and have him drop the puck or something like that. No, that probably wouldn't be right. Do they need to get more out of PK Subban from an offensive standpoint? He's not the best defensive defenseman. Does he need to get involved a little bit more on a power play or something and get some points out of this guy?
Hey, dog. PK Subban's 4-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I absolutely get what you're saying. Do you need more offensive contribution? I would like to see it coming. I'd like to see it on the power play. Josi, Ellis are going to give you some points throughout the series. Ellis has one heck of a shot from out there at the blue line, and we've all seen what a smooth criminal Roman Josi is. He can get in there and get around the net and carry the puck end-to-end with the best of them in the league right now. So I agree with you. I'd like to see Subban contribute a little bit more on the offensive side, and against the best penalty kill in the NHL, this is the time for PK Subban to rise up and show that he is a premier superstar offensive defenseman in the league. He's been an all-star, and there's a reason why. He usually shines on the big stage. Good defensive effort from him in the first round. He did play well, but he put a lot of hits, 13 hits in 4 games, and he was also averaging 25 minutes a night. So with the Preds only giving up 3 goals in the entire first round, I'd say he did his job, but I would like to see him step up and put a couple more points on the board. They're going to need him against the St. Louis Blues, who are a very, very tough, stifling defensive team.
All right, there you have it. That is your rapid rewind for this, the 26th day of April 2017. When we come back, one more time with the phones, plus we'll tell you what to watch on TV tonight. It's all next right here on 730-1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I know that we're immersed in the NHL and NBA playoffs, and the NFL draft is just a couple of days away. But it's worth a short detour to see what's going on in Milwaukee. I'm talking about Brewers 30-year-old rediscovered first baseman Eric Thames. Thames hit his league-leading 11th home run last night and is also tops in runs, slugging percentage, OPS, and total bases. So how did a guy who washed out of the majors 5 years ago disappear to Korea and reemerge as a mini Barry Bonds? It's not roids because he's been, quote, randomly tested several times. To me, it's simply hard work and plate discipline. This didn't happen overnight. It took many years on the other side of the world with not many people paying attention. But now that he's got ours, Eric Thames is making the most of it. I'm Tiki Barber. CBS Sports Radio.
Save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $23.99. Or upgrade to Pennzoil high mileage and a MicroGuard filter for $24.99. Save big with Pennzoil oil and filter specials at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So you own your own business. Got small ambitions for this business? Of course you don't. Got medium ambitions for this business? Of course you don't. Who has medium ambitions? You got big ambitions. If you're a growing business with big ambitions, you want to grow with Grainger. Grainger has the products, the services, and more importantly, the commitment you need. Total commitment. If you're a growing business, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen. By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
Stop into Lowe's where you'll find big savings on those projects popping up on your to-do list. Grow a happy and healthy lawn with 20% off all Stay Green fertilizer and grass seed. Plus, get cooking with 25% off all Charbroil commercial and signature series gas grills. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Stay Green offer valid 426 through 58. Grill offer valid 426 through 51. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Want to know the secret to success, kid? One thing, the Grainger catalog and Grainger.com. Okay, that's two things. Oh, and Grainger's got mobile apps. Those sure are convenient. Three things to succeed. Hey, and 1-800-GRAINGER. I know that number by heart. Four things. There's hundreds of branches, too. Like I said, the one secret to keep this place running smoothly is Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Just sit right back on the wheel.
Well, tonight, I mean, my goodness gracious. I mean, look at some of the stuff that we got to look at tonight. All right, Braves are at the Mets if you're a baseball fan. That game is coming up here in just a few minutes right here on The Hump. It'll be on FSN as well. Yankees Red Sox is on ESPN. Predators Blues, 7 o'clock NBC Sports Network, followed up by the Ducks and Oil. That'll be a very entertaining game if you're up late. My gosh, it's just so much stuff. NBA playoffs as well on TNT. They're underway now with Atlanta and the Wiz. Get you scoring it here in a moment. Atlanta leading 34-33 with 7:24 to go in the first half in that game. That'll be followed up by Chicago and Boston at 7:30. I mean, it's a crazy night of stuff. And I know most of you are going to end up watching on ESPNU the replay of the national championship game between Clemson and Alabama. All right, let me give you just a tip on that. It starts at 7 o'clock. If you're watching the Clemson-Alabama game and you're an Alabama fan, watch 59 minutes and 59 seconds of that game. That's all I'm saying. Set your DVR to watch 59 minutes and 59 seconds. What was a worse final second? Kick six or pick six? And I don't mean an interception for a touchdown.
That's a good one.
I'm just saying. You know? Well, I'm just saying that's out there. What are you watching tonight? Let me see what's going on the networks. I can't watch it. This is going to my DVR. Can't watch anything tonight, but this is all going to the DVR. Designated Survivor, very good. Law and Order is new, Special Vix. Chicago PD is new, all going to the DVR. Criminal Minds going to the DVR. What do you got going on?
Big Dog, I'm not turning away from the basketball game and the hockey game for the whole night. I mean, if I flip back and forth, it's going to be between the Preds game and the Celtics game. That's all there is to it.
It'll be those two games.
That's it. And then if my fiance is still up, which she probably won't be because she has to work tomorrow, I don't know what I'll be doing. I really don't. I probably won't watch any more TV. I'll probably get on the game with a friend of mine. But as far as TV goes,
Wait a minute. What do you mean get on a game with a friend of yours? You're talking about like playing a video game online with like a headset on and doing that stuff?
No, my best friend and my best man, he's staying with me right now, and we bought this game for our PlayStation. It's this like just mindless zombie game that he wanted to do, and he's getting ready to go to the beach and move out. This is his last weekend living with me. He finally got a good job out in Huntsville, so he's moving back to Huntsville. So I'll probably stay up and hang out with him for a little bit.
Okay. It's a zombie video game, huh? So instead of watching the...
Whoa.
Everything will be over early.
No, the Oilers game will be on, but I do have a computer that I'll set up by the TV and have the Oilers game on.
I don't expect you to watch the Oilers and the Ducks. I'm not expecting to watch it, but everything else is early, right? I mean, you got...
Yeah,
the Braves game is coming up top of the hour. The Yankees and Red Sox top of the hour. Yeah, top of the hour on ESPN. You've got forget the NFL mock draft special. I mean, who's got time to watch that crap right now?
You get the real thing tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. We got the draft tomorrow. No more mocks.
Right.
Tomorrow we get the real draft, and tomorrow will be truncated. We'll join you immediately after the Braves game with Alan Carpenter from TomahawkTake.com. Matt Scalise will be in from AL.com. We'll see how much. I want to leave room for you to get in and get your picks. So tomorrow, if you want to get in, get those picks, think about it. I'm looking for the first four picks in the draft. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 at Talladega. But you got to be able to tell me the first four picks in the NFL draft to get those. So keep that in the mix as well. All right, what's the story? Are we joining the network raw or what?
We got 30 seconds to outro.
Oh, okay. Oh, the outro music skipped?
Yeah.
No outro music? Oh, wow. You know, that makes it tough without outro music, so you're going to have to count me down. I mean, I could chat right up to the game. Tonight, it's the Braves and the Mets in game one of a truncated three-game series. The Braves have lost six straight after dropping five out of their first six. They then won five straight, then they lost six straight. It's coming up right now. Braves baseball. Have a great night, everybody.
...730 and 1039 together. That's like a million billion. So it's no wonder why the Ump is the Valley sports leader.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free two-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, may vary by model. No charge for promotional two-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. 6081 Valley Equipment Rental.
Do shine. Do love. This Mother's Day, the gift of Pandora from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, lets you do it all for mom. Stop in between April 27th and April 30th, and you'll receive a free Pandora jewelry box with your Pandora purchase of $125 or more. Inscribed, always my mother, forever my friend. This jewelry box is the gift mom will treasure forever. Do love this Mother's Day. That's why he went to Jared. While supplies last.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I like them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talent. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talent. ZipRecruiter.com/talent.
Every sport, every game, every player, every score, every $7 stadium beer. If it matters to you, it matters to us. The Ump. York Mets at Citi Field. This is Atlanta Braves Baseball on the Braves Radio Network.
Don Jim McGrama, welcoming you back to New York. It's Citi Field. We're after 48 hours in New York and some maxed out Visa cards. The Braves and the Mets are going to go at it in the first of what is now a two-game series. Braves and the Mets will go at it 19 times this year. This will be game four at Citi Field with five more to follow. And then after this, Braves don't see the Mets back here until, geez, the last week of the season, about the 25th. Bad weather yesterday. It was 35 degrees. It was 30-mile-an-hour winds. And that game yesterday will be made up as a part of a doubleheader in September. Mets' first time in took 2 out of 3 from the Braves. And tonight the Braves will try to do some evening up, and they've got the right man on the mound to do it. Julio Teheran will be making his second start against the Mets, his second here at Citi Field. 6 scoreless innings opening day. He was really good. He has pitched to an 0.63 earned run average while going 3-0 in his last 6 starts against the Mets. In his last 22 innings here at Citi Field, he has allowed one earned run. What the Braves need to avoid is close ball game, because 7 of the 18 games played have been decided by one run, and the Braves are 2-5 in those games. 7 of the last 9 losses have been decided by 2 or fewer runs. Roster changes, minor ones. Braves brought up Lane Adams from Gwinnett. Chase Darnot designated for assignment. So the Braves chomping at the bit to get back.